This is the Alpaca Podcast for all things alpaca. If you're an owner, a soon-to-be owner, a want-to-be owner, or are just alpaca mad or love the fleece, welcome to the Alpaca Tribe. I'm Steve Hetherington.
Hi, Steve here, and welcome to the podcast for alpaca people. Great to see you again. I'm outside. I know, you know, I keep telling you to go and spend some time with your alpacas. It's not really a spending much time around them. A quick feed, and I've run away to be near a building, and it's got the last vestiges of the afternoon sun kind of shining on me. But the wind is swirling around, coming from the north. Ah, dear. Weather. Lots of weather. Today's been a day of weather, all kinds of it. We seem to have had just about everything going, I think. Don't think we had any snow, but we had everything else. But so it was rain overnight, and then we've had some nice bright and sunny. Cloudy, quick wind. Blowing the wind is coming from the north. Although looking at it, yes. No, yeah, sort of northwest. And it's pushing in cold air. And it's also moving the clouds quickly. So you're going sort of, it's sunny. Oh, no, it's not. It's cloudy. And then we've also had some, we had this afternoon, we had a little bit of a flurry of, ooh, dark sky. Ooh, what's that rattling on the window? And we were having hailstones bouncing off, or is where I come from, up in the northeast of England, stotting off the windows and the windowsill. It means bouncing, you know, kind of. It's a good word, isn't it? Stotting. Yes, it kind of says it all. So, weather. What do the alpacas do with all this weather? Weather. Rainy weather. What do we do with alpacas in rainy weather? Well, you know what they're like. They do their own thing. And sometimes they'll be out. Sometimes they want to be in. And we just need to provide enough shelter, really, of whatever kind, whether it's under trees, have some windbreak kind of bush kind of thing. We've got things which have grown to be tree-sized, although they technically probably smaller plants, but they've grown to produce a bit of a shelter belt where the wind is kind of protected. They're protected in that corner. Roughly north-south of the valley, so you get these quiet spots in one corner and sheltered from the slope of the hill coming down. It's not a wide valley, so you get a bit of steepness on either side. One side, we've just got a path that runs near our boundary. We haven't got any slope on that side. It's not ours. But yet the wind doesn't follow the fence line, does it? And the birds as well, they don't follow fence lines. So it all kind of comes through and around, and that was what's going on. But yeah, so alpacas in the rain, do you need to bring them in? No, you don't need to bring them in. Give them the opportunity is my preferred way, so that if they want to come in, they can. So the stable's always left open. And they'll move themselves around. Sometimes they'll sit. I'm sorry, girls, I've read the forecast. It's going to dip down for a long time. But they'll sit down, cush down, and they kind of ride out the rain best they can. But once they get a bit damp, they don't really care. They're happy to graze, happy to come in, particularly at feeding time. So you do need to have a little bit of oversight and work out when is it best to bring them in. I've typically not done that in the rain, but I've done it much more in the snow when we've had more heavy snowfall, particularly overnight. Then I'll sometimes bring them in and close all the shutters and get more tucked up cosy. But I have been leaving a light on in the stable overnight when the weather's been bad, and they will come in and they'll be inside. And if it's in the morning and I've just fed them and the weather's not so good, then they'll loiter and stay inside for longer. So if you can, it's good to give them the opportunity to do whichever they prefer, to be out or to be in. And you then don't have to bother about, do I bring them in, do I leave them out? You know, they're outdoor animals. They're not meant to be brought in all the time. But sometimes the weather really is bad, and it's worth giving that bit of extra protection. The older girls have their coats on. I was telling you last week about how I'd taken off three. I've left them off. It's been not too bad. Going to be a bit colder, but it's going to be brighter as well. So the sky's going to be more open, so we lose the heat. There's not quite enough heat in the sun yet. The angle's improving all the time, and the length of the day is improving all the time. The afternoon sun, there was a bunch of them grazing, and some of them were down in the stable waiting for delivery of the food, please. And that was making use of the kind of the sun. I'm sat here in a shadow now. I'm not in the sun as I was, so it's not quite as warm. So it's not a really good day for being outside with your alpacas. It's still, you need to be around them and check them over quick. But it's not really time for lingering in the outside, unless you can find a quiet corner where you can sit out the wind, be in the sun with a hot mug of something to keep you warm and your gloves on to avoid that wind chill factor. And probably your ears covered as well, if it's that bad. Ooh. So that's the rain. Alpacas and rain. Yeah, they need a bit of protection. They don't need a lot. What about alpacas and wind? Yeah, they don't really need protection from the wind. I mean, we're talking about howling gales, then they're going to hunker down, and probably being indoors is where they would choose. But generally, they'll find a quiet corner, particularly, as I was saying, north-south our valley means that there's a prevailing wind, and they will find the quiet spot. And we've got a field, and right next to it is a little stand of trees. And they'll disappear in there. They'll get out of the wind that way. So there are things that you can do. Not immediately. You've got to plant a tree and let it grow, or they've got to be existing trees to give that kind of protection. But that's something to bear in mind, and keeping them sheltered from the wind, or able to be sheltering from the wind, so they're going to move themselves around. And the girls do, and I'm sometimes surprised where they take themselves, because it to me seems like they're going to be in the wind, but sometimes they like that. It all depends. So shelter from rain, shelter from wind, less so. What other kind of weather do we get? Oh, we get sunny weather. It's hard to believe. I know. My hands are frozen here, holding this microphone, holding my phone to talk into. So my hands are cold, and yet there's the promise of later in the spring and into the summer, we'll get the hot. And it gets a bit hot. And particularly before they're sheared, when they've got full fleece and they haven't got the ability to kind of regulate their temperature. They love sunbathing, they love being in the sun. But when they've got full fleece on, they get a bit hot. So we need to think about giving them shelter. So now we're talking about shade rather than anything else. You can do that in a variety of ways. Again, trees and bushes are going to help. Depending on what they are, just need to make sure that they're safe ones to be around on the edges of your fields or in the fields. And then it moves around during the day, doesn't it? You've got where is your sun? Do you know where it goes? Do you know where it starts in the morning, where it goes through the day, and where it ends up? You probably do if you think about it. But in those fields where the alpacas sometimes are restricted, we put them in there for grazing or whatever, how much shelter have they got from the sun? Sometimes not as much as you think. It's worth just doing a little observation. It changes through the year a bit, depending on the angle, the seasons, but generally it's going to be something you can work out, and you know, that's where you're going to get the morning sun. So if it's a cold morning, they can get a little bit of sun fairly early on. How's that work out? The boys get that. They're up on the top of the hill. And they get the morning sun shining at the top of the hill, and then it works its way down to their field shelter. So quite often they'll be up high on their bank, up at the top of the hill, near where the sun's going to come. And they do enjoy that. And then it travels down. But if it's really hot, we're talking about the summer, if it's really hot, then they need a place where they can get to. And if they can't, then they need to be able to cool down. How can they cool down? Usually water is going to be your quickest way. If they can't get in the shade, then they definitely need access to water. And preferably larger amounts of water. It's not just about, they need to be able to drink, but they need larger amounts of water that they can dip into and splash around in, cool their legs off and then their underbelly. Millie, the matriarch, she would always do that. She would stand in the bucket and then splash herself. She would kind of stand and bring her foot down very, very smartly into the water and make a big splash underneath her and onto her legs. And you can tell when there are some of them that will do that early, but they kind of queue up. And there are times when I'm mucking out and I sluice down the concrete and the water's flow. Oh, yeah, let me stand in that. I can stand in that. And they just quite like standing in the water. And of course, we've got an added bonus here of the lake. The moment we've got high water, so the kind of the channel next to the road, which takes the overflow from the lake, so it flows rather than flood the road, it flows away. But it also means that you've got a shallow channel where the alpacas can get in, and they do stand in there. They were all stood there the other day, very happily. Thank you very much. And there's a few, I think, and you do know that it goes deep quick there. Just be careful. Don't step too far. But they've worked out which side of it's like a concrete retaining wall. And so when it's full of water, it forms like a causeway. And occasionally you get one that will walk across that. Not very often. I saw Wenna, the little brown one, she was doing that the other day. And yeah, that was interesting. But she does know there's a deep side and a shallow side. They do seem to have worked that one out. I know when they were young, we did have some moments, when they were young, Kriya, and they accidentally stepped off the wrong side and they did end up in the water. Oh, panic, yeah. So they quite quickly sort that out. And I think the other ones watching that recognise, oh, that's something to be aware of. So they're not totally dim, they do learn from each other. But when they're really young, they're learning lots of new things all the time, aren't they? With the Kriya, they're learning to follow what else is going on and other people are doing, other alpacas are doing. Experimenting for themselves and trying things out. And some of them like to get in the water and sit down. Some of them just like to paddle. Some tend to stay on the edge. They don't really... I remember the one time I was trying to take Howl back after the shearing. I was taking him back. So I've had him on the lead and halter. I was just leading him, and he suddenly veered off. I wasn't quite paying attention. He's very relaxed normally, and you don't have to keep him on a tight leash, as it were, or a tight lead, leading rope. So that was interesting. He suddenly veered off and jumped in the water. It's here. I'd like to be. The boys don't get a chance to get in the lake, you see. They're up on the hill. They can see it from a distance that they can't really get to it. So every now and again, when they can get access, they do take advantage. So yeah, he suddenly launched himself into the water and then sat down. It was quite deep. Thankfully, it was after the shearing, so we didn't have to worry too much. And then I managed to persuade him to come out, and we walked up the rest of the way, and him dripping away, leaving a wet trail of where he'd been. But he appreciated it. He seemed to have a smile on his face, I think. Funny. Oh, I'm glad I didn't have to go too far. And I did manage to control him enough. Just the thought of being dragged into the water, hanging onto an alpaca. Yes, no, it doesn't bear thinking about. So they need some shelter as well from the sun, from shade. And sometimes you can get that from a building. Sometimes you can get that, obviously, from trees and that kind of thing. So just thinking about how does the sun travel around. And where's the strong completely open? Because there are some bits where it's... When we're doing the shearing, we've got them in a little catch pen, and then the sun comes round, and then there is no shade left for them. It's okay in the morning, but the afternoon, there's no shade. So we have to balance that up, try and process them quickly enough, make sure they've got access to water, but not that they're going to stand in because they're going to get wet then because it's just pre-shearing. But you don't want wet fleece. Oh, no. So... Yeah, those things, it's kind of a moving target, literally. because of the sun moving around. Where does the sun come and how does it interact with everything? I really like the opportunity, if you can, to build, what would you call it? To extend the roof of a building to come out, to have an overhang, so it comes out over the outside of the stable, of the building, of the barn. So you've got that opportunity to provide some shade, but it also gives a bit of shelter from rain and other inclement weather, which we have plenty of. So it's one thing or another. So that's worth thinking about. If you're doing a new building, or if you can find an easy way of adding it on to extend the roof and have that permanently there. You can try things like solar sails. Solar as in sun, sails as in boats, I guess. Sails, you can buy them. You need a sturdy base that's connected into the ground, but then, and then the post, and multiple posts. But then you can end up with the sail, which provides protection, a bit of protection from the rain, but particularly providing shade, because when the sun is hitting it, it then casts a shadow, which often, as the angle is changing, it's going to be bigger than the size of the sail itself. So that's worth thinking about. Check them out. Go do a search. Solar sails, if that's going to be something that would help you. We thought about it a few times, haven't quite done it. It's the scale of it. We need some quite big ones. You can interconnect them and overlap them, as it were. Yeah, they've got other options for us. So I've never felt that I needed to do that. But I certainly have examined them and looked at them. So that might work for you. So, yeah, what other kind of weather have we got? Nothing really that's going to affect the alpacas too much. Directly. Okay, we give them the shelter, protection from the rain, protection from the wind, somewhere they can shelter, and also shadow, shade, protecting from the sun. But generally, they will adjust to whatever weather you've got, whatever the stuff is going on. Normally, where they're from, originally, high plains of South America, in the Andes, then you've got sub-zero temperatures, maybe three-quarters of the year, and really bright sunshine. You've got a very thin atmosphere, high altitude. And so there's different challenges there, aren't there? You're getting both kinds of things, both the bright hot sun, but also the cold at night as well. Not sure they're bothered quite as much by the rain as we are here in South Wales. But there we go. So there we go. That's the weather. We've had it all today, and more to come. But lovely little indicators still of spring on the way. The engine is revving. The spring engine is revving away. There's a lot of activity coming up through the ground, so we're getting lots of shoots of the daffodils and that kind of thing, and the other sort of spring bulbs. They're all poking their heads up, not all flowering yet, but that's partly because we're in a valley and we don't get as much sun, but some of the places in the village have got lots of evidence of the effect of the sun just opening up the buds, opening up the flowers. Some more to come. And the birds are around and stuff. We've got a couple of geese in today. I think that's our original pair hanging around. We've had others the last few days, but the last couple of days has just been the single pair. And we also had a couple of juvenile cormorants. You could tell them by their white fronts. And sometimes they're looking black, and then they turn their head, or they hang out their wings to dry. And you realise that they've got quite a bit of white on them still. So that's indicators of juveniles. But they're gradually getting... There's the geese. Not sure what they're not sure about, but they're not sure about some of them. And we had the swans for a while and they're gone again. They come and go. I don't know. Who knows? It's a delight. There's always something going on. There's always something happening here in the valley. So, there we go. So we provide shelter appropriate for the different kinds of weather, and we're also bearing in mind the kind of food or need for food and grazing and stuff, because the grass hasn't grown yet, and we haven't had the spring growth coming through of the grass yet, so we're just waiting. Little indicators that it's keeping going. They're still grazing, but there's not as much goodness in it yet, but it'll be coming. So just bear in mind the different kind of food requirements as well in the different seasons and in the different weathers. There we go. Take care if you can, and you can wrap it warm if you're in this part of the world. Then go spend some time with your alpacas and breathe. Say hi to them for me. Take care. Bye for now.
This is the Alpaca Tribe, and I'm Steve Hetherington. Have a great day.